Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number one. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dusty, a new week to talk some Penn State football. How are you doing, my friend?
Well, I am 72 hours away from being 40, so I'm as depressed as you think you would think I am. So this will be the last show that I do in my 30s.
So how are we going to tell the difference next week? How is it going to show that age?
Well, just to be safe, I'm going to wear a pair of Depends on next week's show. Just precautionary. I'm not saying I have any problems right now, but you never know. I am turning a corner and you just want to be safe.
At my age, Dusty, you're a mere pup. You're a pup at 40, all right? All right. Let's start talking about Penn State football instead of your Depends, all right, Dusty?
I don't know if that's what the people want, Jim. I have a lot more. I can keep going down this road if people want, and I guess we'll talk Penn State football and then maybe get some feedback for next week's show.
All right. If you want to hear more about Dustin turning 40, please send us in that request. Send the email. Send it to us. You could even send it through the Ask Ross or Ask T. Frank button. You could tell us you want to hear more about Dustin wearing diapers just in case. All right, that's it. I'm done talking about your age. I want to talk Penn State football. Let's start quarter one with the news. And, you know, it's the off season. We got to talk about the transfer portal. And although we saw the new Penn State roster a week or so ago, that players were not on that roster. We assume they were leaving either to the portal or retiring, in essence, from football. We did get word just the other day that Daniel George has entered the portal. What kind of program do you see him headed to?
Yeah, I would kind of envision him following the Taquan Roberson, Tyler Rudolph type route, where you're not going to dive down into Division III or anything, because physically he is plenty talented enough to continue playing low level, I think, FBS football. I'd be surprised if you see him show up in a Power 5 league again. I think the move for him is to be able to kind of go to a level where that athleticism maybe can better translate to the field. I don't really know what the disconnect was with him from the jump. And, you know, I think you saw this with Justin Shorter too. Just guys who are plenty physically capable, who for whatever reason, maybe the game is just kind of taken a while to develop the instincts forward or learn the proper techniques or whatever the case might be. Daniel George is not a guy who is lacking in physical ability, because he's a very well-rounded athlete with some good strength and decent quicks, and he's got a big frame. I think he can catch on someplace and at least play out his final two seasons in a way where he actually gets to see the field and produce and play and be a part of it, not just be a practice guy. So definitely when his name wasn't on the roster, one could assume that he was going to make use of the rest of his eligibility. Now we just know for sure. And that came out a few days later. I think it was Sunday that Daniel George officially said that he was graduating this spring, much to your dismay, Jim. And the subject we brought up last week when it came to Penn State footing the bill for a guy who's got one foot out the door, and that's fine. But Daniel George will end up playing someplace else. I do expect probably someplace in the mid-Atlantic region somewhere, and probably looking at a non-Power 5 school, if I were to guess.
All right. For those who don't understand Dustin's reference, what happens, and the rules are set up this way, for the players, once the semester starts, their scholarship is paid for this semester. So players who may even already know they're going to be out the door, they wait for the semester to start, the semester to be paid for, then they announce that they're entering the transfer portal. And I have not said there's anything wrong with it. Those are the rules, and they're taking full advantage of the rules. What I'm saying is it's at least newsworthy, Dustin. If you're going to get the full, complete picture of what's going on, that's the complete picture. That is part of it. Not saying good, bad, right, wrong, but it's part of the story, Dustin. Can you understand that?
I can understand that. It's almost like Jim is treating it like he's cutting the check for Daniel George to go to school. But I don't know. Maybe you are. I don't know if you're in that area or not. But I get the point. And it is, you know, I think just to repeat, I think my talking point from last week, because we had the same conversation when it came to Noah Cain and leaving for LSU, but not until after he graduates the spring semester. It's not just at Penn State. It's everywhere. It's just part of this ongoing movement towards player freedom, you know, power of the player to make money, to be able to make choices that they think can better themselves, to have options when it comes to getting out of scholarship situations that might not be healthy for you, all that stuff. It's all part of this evolution of college football. And maybe if this becomes problematic enough, the NCAA, you know, we're just at the early stages of trying to figure out what loopholes are, what loopholes aren't, and how you tighten up this operation so the transfer portal isn't burning 365 days a year. So it's not like a free agency period, a free agency blitz. Recruiting is ongoing. And, you know, so I think, you know, maybe stuff like this gets shored up sometime in the near future once we get a few years down the road on this thing.
And just to follow up on stories that we've done previously, you know, one of my favorite topics is the expansion of the playoffs. The ACC commissioner reaffirmed his opposition to expanding the playoffs. So that seems to be dead and gone, and you could blame the ACC for that. And I will. Trust me, I will. All right, one other news for an outgoing player. You mentioned some of these players leaving and maybe not going to a Power 5 school. Were you surprised? Dez Holmes, playing for a not really good offensive line, not cracking the starting lineup, he is going to a Power 5 school. He's going to Arizona State.
You know what? I mean, he's got a little experience under his belt. I don't really know what Herm Edwards' offensive line situation is going to look like in 2022, but one would imagine with his experience and the number of games that he played, the versatility, his frame, I mean, those are all assets, and maybe just needs a fresh start to unlock more of that. You know, he was, and this is the tough thing whenever you have a guy who's designated the swing guy. You know, are you the guy whose versatility ends up working against you a little bit? You're not good enough to start at guard. You're not good enough to start at tackle. But by golly, you are great as a backup at both of those positions. That was Dez Holmes for a while, and we never saw the evolution of that role. Even when this group of offensive linemen kind of underperformed this year, Dez Holmes wasn't really much of a thought in that rotation. So makes sense for him to go explore someplace else. Wouldn't stun me. I mean, it's really hard to predict offensive linemen and who's going to be great and who's not. Like, look at Ryan Bates, who's a starter for the Bills right now. Not a drafted guy. You know, he was a good player at Penn State, not a great prospect. You know what? Now he's a really good pro player. There's always hope whenever you have some of those physical tools, and I do believe Dez Holmes has them. He just might need a place where they're not attached to what he's always been. You know, he can get a fresh start and a fresh viewpoint from that coaching staff and maybe get a better opportunity to be viewed as something different than a glorified reserve.
And hope is always a good thing, Dusty. We've talked about some outgoing players. Let's talk about some potential incoming players. And that's at offensive line. And we're going to talk more about this in the next couple segments. But there are two players that we know, two offensive linemen that Penn State is interested in. Tyler Steen from Cornell, another Ivy Leaguer, and Hunter Norzad, a tackle from Vanderbilt. What do we know about them, Dusty?
Well, Norzad's from the one from Cornell, and Steen is from Vanderbilt. But Tyler Steen is a guy who's a former three-star. He has been a starter at left tackle and right tackle in the SEC. Has 2 years of eligibility left. Hunter Norzad was a third-team All-American by Phil Steele, so clearly somebody who can play a little bit. And I think probably that lends itself to thinking, okay, he's probably a little bit better, a little bit further along than Eric Wilson was when he came in as a one-year rental. So it looks like there's very much mutual interest from both sides. And if you had to circle two names to know when it comes to possible transfer portal targets, especially at the offensive line position, these are the two guys. And it looks like, I don't know, is Penn State in any position to say no to either one of them if they both would want to come to play at Penn State? So they're names to watch. And it looks like, according to Sean Fitz, that Penn State coaches visited them. I think Hunter Norzad was on campus for a visit this past weekend. So definitely some interest to monitor there. No sure thing, but Penn State has holes to fill. And I think, you know, if you look at the sales pitch of what Penn State has to offer for veteran offensive linemen, you know, I don't think they're far away when it comes to, you know, having the running backs and having the playmakers and the tight ends. You know, there's a lot to like about Penn State's offense and to be a part of that. And there's also a lot to like about what Penn State was able to do with Arnold Ebiketie and with Derek Tangelo, two guys who made a jump from, you know, not that Tyler Steen would be coming from an SEC program, but, you know, they made a jump to a higher level of play, and Penn State helped them get to that next level. So I think that's a good sales pitch when it comes to the portal too.
You asked the question, you know, are they in a position to turn either one of them down? I think if they're interested enough to bring them in, yeah, they'd have openings for both of them. We were looking last week at numbers on the roster, Dusty, and they just in sheer numbers alone, they do not have that many. They have barely a two deep on scholarship on the offensive line, so they do need numbers there also. And I think the fact that, and I did it, did I do it backwards last time? Norzad is the one from Cornell, and Steen is from Vanderbilt, but they're both tackles. And just having the ability to play tackle is important. If they fill those holes or you bring in a tackle, you have the ability, say, maybe to move Caden Wallace to guard where he might be a better player.
And I think just that's very much alive and well, and I think we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, just what the options are at offensive line. But I think any experience, any starting experience, any means that you can bring in veteran, talented offensive linemen, whatever you can do to shake things up from where this group was, you need to do it. And it's no secret that Penn State hasn't exactly lit the recruiting trail on fire when it comes to recruiting blue chip offensive tackles specifically. You know, there are some unknowns all across the two deep going into 2022, but I think especially at the tackle position where you have some unknowns, Caden Wallace, is he going to stick at right tackle? Is Olu Fashanu the answer at left tackle? If you can bring a guy in there who's got starting experience in the SEC, if he pushes Fashanu to be better and that's the only thing he does, then so be it. Otherwise, maybe he's a guy who can start for a year or two and you can move on with that. But I think you got to welcome two guys like this.
And I'll tell you what, if they could be a starter at tackle, fantastic. But even if they're just that first backup, that I would take also. All right, Dusty, that's it for quarter number one. Stick around. Quarter number two, we'll start talking about that roster and how it's shaping up.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.